Are you prepared to bug out? Infidel Body Armor and an Army Ranger have produced a high-speed DVD and book to show you how to drive in combat, patrol, and how to survive in combat. Skills you'll need when it hits the fan. Go to DrivenDVD.com. DrivenDVD.com.
Herbs have been used by people since the dawn of time. When Rockefeller introduced allopathic medicine, many herbal remedies fell by the wayside as people put their faith in prescription pills and the world just gets sicker. Here at Heathen Herbs, we look to the past and to nature for answers. We offer tinctures, magnesium skin cream, lip balm, tooth powder, colloidal silver throat spray, and more. Check us out at heathenherbs.com.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You've made a serious investment in protecting yourself and your family. You've purchased the gun, the ammunition, the training, and even secured a license to carry in your state. You know the Constitution and don't believe you should have to pay for a right that you already have, as written in the Second Amendment, but you are law-abiding. Now you are considering the legal defense options you should have if you ever have to use a firearm. Self-Defense Fund is a comprehensive litigation membership backing you on appeals, legal expenses, court costs, and more. Up to $1 million per incident and unlimited attorney costs per member. Discover selfdefensefund.com for yourself. Any weapon, any state, any time.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
You're listening to Resolution Radio. Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. The American Navy men who saw over 100 of their shipmates burned alive and have their faces and limbs and guts blown off their bodies at the hands of Israeli Jews on 8 June 1967 are getting old now. These USS Liberty veterans have organized and petitioned the U.S. government to launch an impartial congressional investigation of the Israeli attack on the U.S. intelligence ship for many, many decades now. For 5 years, they have been raising money for production of a feature film to tell their story in a way that Americans will understand. They were betrayed and continue to be betrayed by a regime in Washington that is a captive of the Jewish power structure. The same Jewish power structure that keeps our border open, demonizes and criminalizes any resistance to the invasion, promotes racial mixing as their prime strategy for replacing us in the nations we founded, sexually mutilates the bodies and minds of our young people with impunity, and does everything it possibly can do to suppress the birth of the next generation of white children and reduce that generation's chances of survival to as close to zero as possible. Here's what Philip Tourney, president of the USS Liberty Veterans Association, wrote to then-President Bush, trying to get justice for his crewmates 20 years ago. Quote, 8 June marks the anniversary of probably the most shameful day in American history. That day, America's banner and honor were treacherously trashed by our so-called ally, Israel. 34 Americans were brutally slaughtered, 172 wounded, including myself. America's most sophisticated intelligence ship was so badly damaged it had to be scrapped. Israel deliberately attacked America's virtually unarmed USS Liberty in international waters, knowing full well our identity, in an assault that lasted as long as the attack on Pearl Harbor. On that bright, sunny, infamous day, the Liberty had a large American flag flapping in the wind and 10-foot-high ID markings on her hull, which were clearly visible during the full 6 hours, 6 a.m. to 12 noon, that low-flying, slow-moving propeller recons distinctly marked with Stars of David reconnoitered our ship. Overheard radio transmissions of the pilots confirmed that Israel had positively identified the Liberty as American. Suddenly at 2 p.m., the government of Israel put a knife in the back of America. In a diabolic attempt at deception, the Israelis began the attack with unmarked jet fighters using rockets, cannons, and napalm on our unprotected ship. Then 3 motor torpedo boats arrived on the scene and fired 6 torpedoes at us, one hitting its mark, midship on the starboard side, instantly blowing to bits 25 of America's finest young men. The torpedo gunmen shot at our firefighters and stretcher bearers, using us as target practice, maiming and murdering as many of America's sons as they could. The captain ordered us to prepare to abandon ship, as the ship was in grave danger of sinking from a torpedo hit that had left a 40-foot by 40-foot hole in her. There were only 3 life rafts left that they hadn't already destroyed. We put them over the side to put as many wounded in as possible. The torpedo boats machine-gunned the life rafts and sank 2 of them and took 1 aboard their boat. No survivors were to be taken. Helicopters were overhead to board our ship with Israeli commandos at the ready to finish us off. Responding to an SOS from the Liberty, the USS Saratoga launched their jets approximately 15 minutes into the vicious Israeli attack. Within minutes after the launch, incredibly and inexplicably, Washington shamefully and unconscionably recalled the jets, abandoning helpless American sailors under fire, and subjecting them to an additional 2 hours of barbaric Israeli bombardment and butchery. Fortuitously, when the Israelis picked up an invalid message that U.S. help was on the way, Israel reluctantly was forced to terminate its ongoing assault. Without that break, I would not be alive writing this letter. Ironically, help did not arrive until 18 hours after the attack, when it was only 15 minutes away. When an American rescue ship finally arrived, what they found was shocking. The Liberty was in shambles. Death on the water. There were 821 rocket and cannon holes in her hull. Thousands of 50 caliber armor-piercing bullets riddling her skin. A tunnel-sized torpedo cavity in her broadside. And the residue of napalm that had been dropped to burn us up. Blood and body parts were strewn across the deck. A sad, outrageous story, but unfortunately, true. The crew of the most decorated naval ship in American history was ordered to remain silent under threat of court-martial, imprisonment, or worse, and we all knew what worst meant. The U.S. government has never challenged the obviously phony Israeli excuse of mistaken identity, nor have they attempted to expose the dishonorable cover-up that continues to date. Truth and America's honor were ignominiously sacrificed to provide cover for Israel's transparent lies and despicable act of perfidy. Israel's premeditated sneak attack on the USS Liberty was a direct attack on America. The disgraceful refusal of unpatriotic American governmental officials of dubious allegiance to defend America and come to the aid of brave Americans under attack can only be characterized as treasonous. Mr. President, on behalf of the courageous crew of the USS Liberty, dead and alive, I respectfully request that you commission a presidential panel to finally investigate the attack and cover up of the USS Liberty and report the truth to the American people. Thank you, Mr. President. God bless you. God bless America. Respectfully, Philip F. Tourney, President, USS Liberty Veterans Association. Close quote. James M. Ennis was an officer on the Liberty when she was attacked. Asked by an interviewer whether he believed the Israeli story about the attack being an accident, an incident of friendly fire, he responded, quote, "Friendly fire is a brief accidental attack. This was a prolonged, carefully coordinated attack. It has been called the most carefully planned accident in the history of warfare. The Israeli account of the attack is untrue. We flew a flag at all times, and it stood out clearly displayed in a good breeze. Israeli jets circled us 13 15 times during the several hours before the attack. And during that period, we heard their pilots informing their headquarters by radio that we were American. When the attack started, the attacking jets passed high overhead once, then turned 180 degrees and came down the center line, firing without any attempt to identify us. Long after the attack, I was contacted by an Israeli pilot who told me that on his first flight over the ship, he saw our American flag and informed his headquarters that we were American, but was told to ignore the flag and attack anyway. He refused to do so and returned to base, where he was arrested. I was told by an Israeli in the war room that they knew we were American. I have been told by several American intelligence analysts who read, or in some cases heard, the messages between the pilots and their headquarters that these messages make it very clear that the pilots and their headquarters knew we were American. Close quote. The USS Liberty veterans have pleaded again and again for a real investigation and a national recognition of this murder of American servicemen by the Jewish state. The response from the Jewish captured Washington regime, whether fronted by Republicans or Democrats, has been very close to zero. There was no new investigation under Bush, under Fetchett, under Trump, who presided over the regime during the 50th anniversary of the attack, or under Biden. Asking the U.S. Congress to get at the truth is a lot like asking a swarm of locusts to help you protect your garden. Asking the U.S. Congress to support American interests or go against Jewish interests is like asking Anthony Fauci to head a commission to expose the crimes of the pharmaceutical industry. It's not going to happen. May nature's God bless the efforts of the Liberty veterans and those helping them to spread the truth. But we in the National Alliance know that only a radical restructuring of society will bring the justice we need, will bring an end to the Jewish power structure that is literally killing us. Killing us as surely as those Israeli pilots and gunmen killed the men of the Liberty. The best thing we can do as we bring the truth about the attack on the Liberty to our family, friends, and neighbors is to bring it to them in the context of the National Alliance's efforts to build new institutions and ultimately a new race-based state to our people. The real situation is so much worse than most people, even the most devoted supporters of the Liberty crew, think. It is far more than just some foreign agents whispering in our representatives' ears. It is our deadliest enemy, an enemy who wants us all dead and is working assiduously for the day when we are gone forever, who has captured our media, our politicians, our educational institutions, and almost our entire financial system. The Jewish power structure has made even mild criticism of them and their narrative into an actual or virtual punishable crime, not only in the United States, but in the entire Western world. When you look for the videos about the Liberty on major internet platforms like YouTube, owned and run by Jews, you find censored videos, removed videos, blocked channels, and even in the films that remain, you get special informational and contextual links to direct you to sources supporting the cover-up of this crime. In short, these would-be rulers and executioners of our people have arrogated to themselves the right to kill us at any time they feel it would be to their advantage to do so, such as they did on 8 June 1967. And anyone who questions this right of the master to terminate the lives of his slaves is an evil anti-Semite who should be shut up by any means necessary and shut out of earning a living or participating in society in any way. That this situation cannot be solved by petitioning the totally captured Congress or the president of the regime that showers tens of billions on the Jews' state every single year should be obvious. Only the National Alliance recognizes the central fact of the matter, the elephant in the room that even some very good people who tell much of the truth are afraid to acknowledge, that our state has been stolen from us, and we need to begin working for the day when a new state will be founded to serve our folk. I want everyone within the sound of my voice to print up 100, or better yet, 10,000 copies of our USS Liberty flyer by Dr. William Pierce, Day of Infamy, and distribute them in your city or town this week. Just go to natall.com/liberty. That's natall.com/liberty. And download the PDF. Print them out and fold them and bring the truth to your town. Our facts are unassailable, and the message is powerful, and the identification of our enemies is crucial. These are the facts that our people need to know in order to understand who exactly it is who is destroying our race, our nation, our civilization, our future. It is presented in a way that gets our foot in the door of our people's sadly confused souls, a way that they can understand, and starts to get them oriented in the right direction. Most local print shops will print and fold these powerful flyers for you, too, for a very low price. They need the business these days. I've never had a print job refused for political reasons, either. And on more than one occasion, I've been personally congratulated by the shop owner for taking a stand for our people. So visit natall.com/liberty. natall.com/liberty, and get out there in force this week, the anniversary of the Israeli attack on the Liberty.
You're listening to Resolution Radio, Radio, Radio.
ResolutionRDO.com.
My brothers, my sisters, I bring you a message of solidarity, a call to action, and a demand for adherence to duty of an Aryan resurgence and ultimately total Aryan victory. We have broken the chains of Jewish thought. We know not the meaning of the word mine, it is ours. Our race, the totality of our people. 10 hearts, one beat. 100 hearts, one beat. 10,000 hearts, one beat. We are born to fight and to die and to continue the flow. The flow of our people. Onward we will go, onward to the stars, high above the mud of yellow, black, and brown. So kinsmen, duty calls. The future is now. If months from now you have not yet fully committed yourself to the alliance, then you have in effect not only betrayed your race, you have betrayed yourself. So stand up like men and drive the enemy into the sea. Stand up like men and swear a sacred oath upon the green graves of our sires that you will reclaim what our forefathers discovered, explored, conquered, settled, built, and died for. Stand up like men and reclaim our soil. Kinsmen, arise. Look towards the stars and proclaim our destiny. Defeat never, victory forever.
I believe in race. I'm not ashamed to admit it at all. And that doesn't mean one bit that I'm out to persecute or hurt any man because of his race. He can't help what race he is. We believe that each race has particular geniuses and particular faults. The white race has built white Western civilization, and we think the white race should dominate in that area. National socialism, fundamentally, is the application of science not only to inanimate objects and animals, but to mankind himself. We believe that the communists, the Marxists, have one fatal error in their doctrine, a place where absolutely there's a hole and there's no explanation for it. They admit evolution. They admit that animals vary by breed and that you can breed better and worse animals. Now, how do they explain how there is a sudden dividing line when you come to one particular animal called man? They have no explanation. Time and again, when I've asked them, they have no explanation. They just say if it's got two legs and it stands on its hind feet, then it suddenly becomes a special being and there is absolute equality. They're all the same. Man is an animal just like all the rest of the animals. He's more intelligent, but he must obey nature's laws. And that insofar as he is an animal, he must obey the laws that pertain to animals. We say that when the white race has produced such a wonderful thing as Western civilization, we should treasure the people that have produced that and can maintain it. And we should not mix them all up with other kinds of civilizations, whether or not they're good. We should certainly try to preserve it just the way the farmer preserves his better grade of stock. We are also, socially speaking, tribalists. You must live as social beings. You have to live with other people. And this is impossible unless you observe certain fundamental laws of the tribe, the ancient Indian tribe, any kind of tribe of people, even a wolf pack, has got to have certain fundamental things. One of these things is leadership. Not leadership by the most popular, but by the strongest and the best. Any tribe or Indian tribe or any group or family should be led by the best and the strongest. Otherwise, it disintegrates. It's got to have group pride and loyalty. You've got to have selection in the mating process, something that we have almost lost now. We believe that it is of fundamental importance to society that the strongest, cleverest, and the best of the men mate with the best type of women who will make good mothers. And when you destroy that machinery, you get what we have now. We believe that you have got to have an organic society. Now, by an organic society, we mean a society, not a dictatorship, but a society in which the parts of the society cooperate together in different functions and in peace and harmony, just the way your body works. Cancer is the wild, uncontrolled growth of cells at the expense of all the rest of the body, and that's what you have in Washington, D.C. right now. Cancer. We believe in private property and free enterprise. It is impossible, we believe, to have a society in which there is any real work going on unless people can get the reward of their effort. And at the same time, we believe you've got to have social justice. You cannot have people who are exploiting and squeezing little helpless people economically. And this is where I get in trouble with the conservatives, because most of today's conservatives, I've discovered, are reactionaries. They're real anxious to hold on to their money. They don't care how they have to figure it out. They just want those money bags. And they come up with any kind of rationale to keep it. Every national socialist believes in idealism, believes in something that is worth more than his own one single human life. He's willing to die for something. When you're ready to die for something, then you're alive. And until you are ready to die for something, you have no real fanaticism. And just at dinner a little while ago with some of the fellows there, they said, were telling me, well, it's terrible to be a fanatic. Well, did you ever stop and think how this country got here? How all the great inventions ever got there? Any one of you out there that is not a fanatic on something or other, whatever it is you're studying, if you're going to be a doctor, be a fanatical doctor. Otherwise, you'll be nothing. You'll just be an ordinary old chug-chugging guy, and when you die, nobody will notice it. But if you're a fanatic, you'll produce something great. You'll create. Creativity is fanaticism. Every creative genius has had to be a fanatic. Many of them have been burned at the stake. So we are ideological and idealistic fanatics. Just like the communists, by the way. In between the Nazis and the communists is the great mass of non-fanatics. The TV watchers and the comic book readers. I will say this. National socialism is the inevitable end product, logically, of evolution. If you believe in evolution, you've got to be a Nazi if you think about it long enough. You can't help it. But what happens is people short-circuit it. The minute they believe in evolution and scientific breeding until they come to that two-legged animal that stands up on its hind legs, then all the rules are up. We say that's not possible. You either believe in the scientific method and the truth, and you apply it to yourself without egotism, or else you don't believe in the scientific method and you're kidding yourself. Nazis believe in ruthless application of the truth, not only to inanimate matter and animals, but to you animals. People, all of us are the same insofar as we are animals and must survive and live as animals. And unless we breed ourselves better, we're going to get worse. That's what's happening. I do worship nature in that I'm humble. When I see the mighty, awesome power of nature, and believe me, I've seen some terrific power of nature, the typhoons off Japan during the war, earthquakes. I've been through some tremendous cataclysms on this earth. And compared to them, the atomic bomb is like a firecracker. Nothing. And when you start to think of the enormity of space, our spacemen are just going around at the very bottom levels of space. They're no place yet. There are over 100 million planets where life, just like here, could exist. And in the face of that awesome probability, not possibility, probability, I say it's ridiculous to be egocentric and say we are the center of all things. Everything turns around us. We Nazis are humble. When I look at nature and realize how ignorant and small and feeble and weak and little we are, Nazism is a philosophy of nature, a way of looking at the world. And as I've pointed out, we believe in tribalism. We don't think we're above that. We think that you've got to have pride in your family, pride in your race, pride in your nation. That's not something to laugh at. Patriotism and pride in family and pride in race is something we should be proud of and cultivate, work on, not get rid of. Finally, we believe in morals. We believe in the traditions of goodness, virtue. Now, I told you something about what we are, but I'll do as good as I can in telling you what I think our enemies are. And our enemies, make no mistake about it, are the Marxists. The philosophy of Marxism, I believe, is the enemy of all humanity. It's the reverse of humanity. We say communism itself is the most vicious, anti-social doctrine the world has ever known, and here's why. They completely deny the very basis on which any human order can exist at all. Without humans, or at least without civilized humans, you certainly can't have human order. And the communists say they don't believe in race. They believe in absolute equality. The pygmies, the aborigines of Australia, everybody. Let them all come to Carlton, and they'll all write arias and books, and the cannibals will be producing the music and verses. That's all you have to do is educate them. And this simply is not true. This results in chaos, social chaos, which is what we have now. They don't believe in enterprise. They don't believe that people should work for themselves. They believe that the state should come and tell them what to do. They don't believe in private property. They don't believe that you can keep the fruits of your production. They don't have, above all, they have no spiritual ideal. We say the only thing that's worth protecting with your life is ideals and your family, your race, and your nation. And twice in my lifetime, I've been called upon to go out and risk getting killed. And I saw a lot of other young men doing this. Young fanatics that they made out of it, by the way. They made us real fanatic haters of the Germans and fanatic haters of the Japanese. Nobody protested that that was bad to be a fanatic when we were fighting those Japs, and I assure you we all were. Finally, the communists, if you remember when they first got into Russia, they are against morals. They had free love, no morals at all, everything was have a ball. And the result was they almost tore Russia to pieces. They just fell apart. Now, if you'll notice, they are almost puritanical in Russia. In order to make the thing work, they've had to go back to the very principles of tribalism which we're advocating. You can't work society with a communist pipe dream. Civilization is based on self-sacrifice, on the willingness of men to go out and die for what they believe in. When you get rid of that self-sacrifice, you get anarchy. Civilization is built because I am willing to give up something for my family. And the family is willing to give up something in order to have the town succeed. And the town is willing to give up something so the state can be in business. And the state is willing to give up something so the nation can succeed. Self-sacrifice is the first principle of civilization. Communism has got the fanaticism to destroy you, and it's doing it. And unless you can build up a counter-fanaticism for something you believe in positively, you will be destroyed. You are being destroyed.
Recently, there was a report out that among new babies that were born, this happened last year, minorities were now the majority, that whites were officially the minority.
And they're boasting about it. Khrushchev just said, America's so liberal, they'll never fight. And I think there's a lot of truth to that, but we're going to change that. It won't be quite so liberal. After we've had a chance to make America understand what it is and make it conscious of itself and its greatness and its people and the white race understand that they're worthy of protecting themselves, that they don't have to keep humbling and downgrading themselves while other races are standing up and saying, look at us, how great we are. We keep saying we're ashamed of ourselves for being white. That's a terrible thing. The thing for each race to do is be proud of itself. And the white people and the good people of this country, when they finally realize that they can do that without hurting or being obnoxious to anybody else, they will finally become fanatics to survive, to keep this great country going.